Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. It is Friday, the 25th of April on the East Coast. It's still Thursday, the 24th of April on the West Coast, as you may or may not be aware. And we have a great show planned for you today. First of all, I want to direct your attention after the show, so you don't lose the audio driver to listen to this show. Please visit my website. Go to directlightproductions.com and check out a news item that I pasted or posted, I should say, on my website. The most recent one, just go to news, click on that. You'll get an archive after a couple of moments after it loads. There's a ton of news in there. And read the article I posted there, as well as go to the photo section and click on the first album in the upper left-hand corner. Now, the photo page has quite a bit of information on it as well, so some computers take a few moments to load the photos. When they've completed their loading, be patient for a moment, double-click on any of the albums, but particularly the one in the upper left-hand corner that says Galaxies and Nebulae, and have a field day. There are some very interesting photos there, and you will be amazed. And I want to encourage all the listeners to take a look at those photos. Tonight's guest was on the Evident Footprints show a couple of weeks ago. In fact, she's been on the show twice now. She is an author. She has written a book called Interior Joy, a book which I have read and is I can really vibe with, to use an old saying that goes back into the 1960s and the 1970s. In other words, I feel the vibration, I feel the frequency, I feel the energy in what she has written there, as well as in a new book that she has written, which I am currently editing. It's a book called The New Human, and we are hoping that things permit me to work speedily and get that book accomplished so it can go to press. It's a wonderful description of reaching a higher state of consciousness and how to be in just a perpetual state of not just consciousness, but also a higher vibration, and how you can deal with the earth changes that are taking place. Many people, and we're going to talk about this tonight, many people are experiencing energy shifts. They're occurring all over the planet, and they're affecting people in different ways, and we're going to discuss that. And with that, I'm going to bring tonight's guest on to Evident Footprints, and welcome Miss Deanne Hampton. Deanne, how are you tonight?
Hi, Don. I'm great, and it's great to be here, and I'm really looking forward to this discussion tonight.
Well, so am I. Now, I appreciate you staying up so late. Actually, it's morning for you. I know you have to get up really early to work every day, and so we appreciate you coming on at this late hour and sharing your message with the listeners. I'm sure they will all appreciate that.
Well, like I said, I'm grateful to be here. I might not be as clear-headed as I am in the earlier evening, but let's just have fun and go for it and let come through what most wants to speak tonight. And yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. The last time, actually the last two times you were on the show, we discussed interior joy And we discussed your work a little bit. You work in DNA activation. And, of course, we may have many new listeners tonight. Can I ask you just for a moment to explain in your viewpoint what DNA activation entails?
Well, you know, I have a strong background in sound healing, and, you know, as you know, personally and professionally, sound is one of the strongest energies and forces through which we can communicate at a level that is beyond the mind, that helps us to drop beneath the mind's tendency to attach on to concepts and precepts that are from conditioning rather than from the intelligence of the heart. And, you know, it's been scientifically proven that we use only 3% of our DNA potential. And so that means that there's 97% of our DNA potential lying dormant. And it has been referred to as junk DNA at various times and from various aspects of science, of the science community. But more and more it's being looked at that the DNA is a stored knowledge and wisdom, almost like our direct access to the Akashic Records, where everything that we have ever experienced and will experience, past, present, and future, is not only directly accessible and available to us, but it's within us and just waiting for us to awaken it. And sound vibration is one of the clearest, most direct ways to open that up.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you know my involvement in music, and you know I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, if I can just quickly insert, you mentioned junk DNA, and basically my understanding of DNA is similar to imagining you're in a library where all the books should be on the shelves in a particular order.
Mm-hmm.
But instead you've got maybe two shelves worth of books that are in the order they should be in, and the rest of the books are all just piled on the floor in a big heap. And the DNA that is referred to by the scientists as junk really is there. I think it's a junk theory, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Junk DNA came to the forefront in the O.J. Simpson trial, and I think that was a junk trial. Everybody would agree, too. So junk DNA is sort of a pun on itself. Really, it's the DNA that is inactive and has much to do with our consciousness. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, as you mentioned, there are people at all different places in their understanding and expansion process listening in the audience, as there are in my interaction with everyday life and your interaction with everyday life. And what's most important is that, you know, what specific details we may personally know or understand, like if those listening hear DNA activation and it sounds a little bit far out or not as easy to grasp, that's not what's the most important. What's most important is that our inner work and our expansion is an inside job, so to speak, and that everything that we need personally, you know, every single person, everything that we need is inside of us. And when we start asking the questions interiorly, you know, going within and trusting ourselves and trusting our guidance, trusting something greater within us to begin a dialogue and talking back to us, that, you know, the scientific aspect of it is not nearly so important as to just start resonating with a higher truth that is your higher truth. And the evolution of the earth, our divine origin, our cellular connection to the stars, all of that is coming in to alignment right now to aid the awakening and the healing of humanity and the earth. And we are known throughout the whole universe according to our vibration. I mean, just that knowing and that truth just brings up such gratitude and such joy and the feeling of love to me, because it really brings home not only how much we are not alone, but that guidance is always there, and that they, whoever they represent to you, but it's actually just a greater portion of yourself, but something is wanting to communicate with us so very much, and they're waiting, it is waiting, the energy that is greater, but that is us, is waiting for us to prepare the space so that we can integrate and assimilate these higher energies and tap into this highest expression that is love, that transcends all. And the more that we can tap into and remember that frequency back into our everyday consciousness and the way that we walk through life and the way that we're interacting with and behaving and our thoughts, the more that we can begin to realize that not only are we here to do important work, but that the work that we have to do is necessary in advancing the whole of what's happening right now on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. And that place where we're going, or the goal, simply could be described as God, the creator of all things. And I know that you also, despite the fact that this sounds to some like a new age message, people like to put things into boxes and packages and sort of market them according to what they're comfortable with or what they think something might be. You are very serious about prayer. You are one of few people I know who actually write your prayers down. That you feel them so strongly that you actually share that with someone as if it's a revelation to you. And I have also remarked to you, I think on the air, the last time you were on the show, I even said, I think you should publish a book of your prayers as well.
Well, it's not, when is it when you say, I don't have this thought, it's just that when the prayers come to me, I feel them, the energy of them and the vibration of them, when I'm just simply thinking that I'm sitting in the quiet of my own home having a conversation with the God of my understanding, it occurs to me when these prayers come through me that it's not just about me and that small moment in time. The energy and the expression of the prayers, I can feel the vastness of a universal prayer that it would almost feel selfish of me to not put them down and offer them as extended gifts from the gift that was given to me when I received them. And you know, the comment that you just made about the quote unquote new age movement, and I'm very cautious about that expression.
Mm-hmm.
because there is a tendency in the human mind and in our mental sphere to get caught up and catchphrases can carry loaded connotation that can turn people off before they even really have an opportunity to know what really might be there to be of benefit. And what is typically behind that is fear, because whatever we don't understand through our own view and what we have experienced in life automatically brings up fear. But if we can stay long enough, if we can be present long enough, if we can be daring enough and confident enough in our own wisdom to ask questions, we can often find the place where we connect rather than the place where we might separate out of the fact that my understanding comes from this walk of life, you know, your understanding comes from another walk of life, and so on and so on and so on. And
mm-hmm.
But, you know, I really, you and I, Dawn and Deanne, we have, right now, our realities have a totally different exposure to different walks of life and different people. I feel that you may have a more consistent, ongoing relationship and exchange of energy with people who are on the cutting edge, so to speak, of the higher thought streams and concepts about where the expansion process is right now. Whereas a lot of my work, and I own it, and I'm so grateful for it, that I think of myself as a person of the people, and my life path, whether it's my everyday professional life or my own internal expansion process, has always been about interacting with and being with persons very purposefully, intensely so, from many walks of life. And it really gives me a very illuminated bird's eye view of how the people, everyday consciousness, is thinking, and how this evolution that is happening, whether we go kicking and screaming or whether we learn and trust and jump on the light wave energy of it, that it's happening for us all. And I shared with you a little earlier this week a little analogy that really represents well what I'm experiencing from people out there in the world, of how these changes, whether it's the, you know, this phenomenon of the polygamy news that's happening in Texas, or the weather anomalies that are happening, or the gas prices that are soaring, all of those, you know, are affecting us across the globe, and all of us are having to look at it and take it in, hopefully, in a different way. And what I'm observing, and the analogy that I shared with you, is that I'm noticing it in their eyes when I interact, whether it's with strangers, I love to interact with strangers on the street and look in their eyes and share myself with them through eye contact, and people are hungry, and the eyes are saying, okay, I get it, I'm ready for something new, and show me something new. But at the same time, that fear is still there of maybe not having had the experience yet of this higher energy that is there for us to connect to, for love and for support. And so if I were to go to a person that I knew had this hunger and that I knew was ready for more information, and I said, okay, here's a book, and I want you to read this book, and if you read this book, it's going to give you a totally new understanding of what's going on and what's happening in the world and how you can feel more a part of this. And, you know, initially, because of that fear, and it's almost like an unconscious mechanism of protection, but it's a kind of protection that we don't need anymore. Mm-hmm. And the person will respond by saying, oh, you know, there's nothing in this book that I need, and I don't understand how you're trying to explain things to me. And they'll take that book and just toss it, so to speak, you know, metaphorically, up on the roof, like that they're not interested. But then when I walk away and go on my way and leave them to contemplate and to be with them own selves and to make a new choice and a new decision, well, then they go up on the roof and they get that book and they sit down in the corner and they open it up and they just devour it and read it with all their heart. And so I feel this, Dawn, that people want to know and they're ready for us and they're trusting those of us who have agreed to step out and to be the forerunners, so to speak, to start grounding in this new energy in a way that is tangible and understandable for people to be able to grasp onto and enough so that they can start letting go of the stronghold that has been their life and their conditioning from the agenda, from the matrix, from the secret government, from, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that which is not what we truly are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a mouthful. Well, yes, and I agree with you. You brought up a couple of good points there. Well, they were all good points, but the point that you brought up regarding the fear, what usually causes fear? Well, some people say it's something that we don't understand or something that we don't know. We don't understand because we're maybe trapped in this belief that something is so, and we're so conditioned, so bombarded through repetition and through, let's say, clever use of language or misuse of language that keeps us locked in that belief system, that should we step outside of that comfort zone that we've been accustomed to over the years, that we might experience something new. And since we are so comfortable with not really having to busy ourselves with contemplating something that might shatter our reality, many choose to remain in what we call denial.
And
right?
What does that even mean? Say that sentence again, and let's look at what does that even mean to consider something that might shatter our reality. You know, what does that mean to a person? What you know, to shatter one's reality, to take away what is familiar? It's like we have got to free ourselves from the tyranny of the expected. There's just so much attachment energy, and like just talking with people about or even observing how you know, people will have a house that's full of six generations worth of possessions and, you know, cabinets and clothes and old relics from generations and generations and generations. And then they have storage sheds that have more material possessions. And what occurred to me when, you know, I've just had this discussion this week with not only some clients, but with colleagues, it's like we're dragging our past along with us. And what's true is that objects carry vibrational imprints just as much as we're attracting by what we're vibrating. And so it becomes just this layer upon layer upon layer of dense energy that if we really, took a moment and asked ourselves, what do I need in this moment? What do I want in this moment? And really got clear and talked to our own heart and our own interior and felt that, feel what it is that you want and get clear by that feeling, it would begin to dawn on you and be a realization that so much of what we surround ourselves with is not making us feel more secure. It's actually creating a heaviness that is preventing us from experiencing the vastness of our own light.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well, you're agreeing with what I said.
Yeah, you've had enough conversations with me to know that I don't necessarily just say yes. I have to go around a couple of bushes and in my explanation of, yeah, Don, I agree exactly with what you said.
That's one thing Michael St. Clair does all the time. He'll say, yes, exactly, or yes, I agree. And then I have to think of, okay, what am I going to say now? Come on.
Yeah.
you're good in that way. Well, yes, I'm explaining to you in my own way, and basically you're substantiating that. Of course, you're describing it in greater detail, but my perception has been for a long time that people are taught this. Let's bring up the book The Secret for a moment, if we could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with the law of attraction, and I'm also familiar with the misuse of words,
right?
Whether intentional or unintentional. And they say believe in something and want it with all your heart, and you will get it. Well, in a sense, if you look at the actual meaning of the words believe and want, there is a lie couched in that.
Right there is a setup.
There is a dichotomy. I'll be fair to those who wrote that and say that if their intent was 100% of the highest order, that they misused the words and did it in a way, not intentionally. I would like to believe that.
Right.
More so than that, I would like to know that would be the case. But I can't speak other than for what I see is a misrepresentation of the truth.
Right.
Because if you replace the word believe with know, and replace the word want with intend to possess or desire,
mm-hmm.
Then the phrase takes on a completely different meaning, because you are not saying, well, if you assume that something might be so, even if you don't have 100% proof that it is, and you lack something, then you will get it. That there's no foundation there, you see.
Right.
So the misuse of the word, and we are given these words all the time to use. The word need, and I know this from you, and I've used the word plenty of times. I use it. It's a word that also expresses lack. The things, our needs, are what we lack.
Right. And what happens with that, and I totally honor the intent behind The Secret, and there's a lot of value in it, but in my opinion, and my understanding and what I have observed by people's reaction to The Secret is that it engages a lot of the mental plane. And when we go into the mind, you know, and all those concepts and precepts of conditioning that are just housed there, they go into this place of there is something outside of us that we don't already have. And so then we start wanting, which automatically means that we lack. You know, when we are coming from an interior knowing that in this moment, regardless of what's in my bank account or what's going on with my daily job focus or what health issues I may have, that in this moment I am absolutely whole and I'm absolutely complete and I have all the treasures of the universe stored in my heart. And to be able to go into that space and engage that energy creates the beginning of an unlimited vibration, that vibration which is inside of me begins to attract to me all those things that my mind may think that I don't have or may lack, but it's going to come from a core essence of my, a cellular core of my being, rather than something that my mind is trying to learn how to do and manufacturing from a place that someone else is teaching, rather than the truth of what I already know inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the reason I pointed that out is because it still allows the law of attraction to work.
Right.
But the misuse or the misunderstanding of the words throw that out. And if it would be as simple as this, just the word want, even if we didn't pay attention to the word believe. When you say, I want lots of money, or I want to be happy, or I want to be healthy, you are saying, I lack abundance. I lack prosperity.
Right.
I lack happiness. I lack health.
Exactly.
Or sound health.
Exactly.
And so we do attract that to us. This is why so many people that have read The Secret and seen the movie, which reinforces the false self, the ego, and you pointed out very succinctly that it becomes a mental thing, that people don't experience the success, because the universe gives you exactly what you ask for.
Absolutely.
And if that's in a prayer, or that's in a meditation, or an affirmation, or a goal that you write down, as many of the life coaches have you do, and some of the sales experts that teach their success secrets, they're all dealing with language and getting that to sink into the subconscious mind. What is wrong with it being part of your consciousness? Mm. I've asked that question. Why does everything have to work through the subconscious? Well, if you want to be covert about things and you want to condition people, then you work through their subconscious mind, which is the matrix. You see, this is how the advertising works, through repetition. This is how the music that accompanies the sales pitch in a TV or a radio commercial sells the product. And it's that it sinks into the subconscious mind in more subtler ways. Now, when I talk about music as a healing type of event or a medium, I'm not speaking New Age when I talk about that, because you can be healed by singing Christian songs, or any song of any of song. A religion that comes from the heart center.
That speaks to you, right. If it's music that speaks to you, what you drive to work in the morning and you're listening to a song and it makes you momentarily forget about the insane traffic that you're in or meetings that you have all day long that you're stressed out about, and it lifts you in that moment when you're singing along with it to a vibration that is beyond the density of the now, then that's healing. You know, that is sound healing. And, you know, you have started talking to me a lot more about the fact that our voice alone carries a frequency and vibration and can be sound healing in and of itself, that it doesn't just have to be something that our mind perceives as a melody or a tone, that those melodies and those tones that are part of the vibration of our voice are actually an extension of the melody and the tone and the vibration that we carry in our heart, and that our words alone and how we express them can be the way that we walk through the day and extend healing to those that we interact with.
Mm-hmm. I've heard your wind chimes. You know, I and you know I have perfect pitch, so I can tell you what notes they are. And I hear the frequencies actually that are pleasing to you, or you would not have even picked out those wind chimes. But the reason I bring that up is because we all have frequencies that we resonate with. Some are lower than others. Some people are really moved by the lower frequencies found in music and certain types of rock music or rap music, or regardless of the style. Some people just have an affinity for those lower vibrations. And it's not necessarily a bad thing for them to feel those, as long as they are in harmony with the light aspects and the soul aspects that you see some, even on an unconscious or a subconscious level, see some benefit for hearing that music. An example might be a Mozart symphony or Beethoven or Bach or one of the masters. They came here to really raise the vibration through music on this planet. And that's why their music has lasted for so long. Now, it's interesting that wind chimes can produce the same effect. Mm-hmm. And that it mirrors who you are and where your frequencies are, and that those high pitches and certain keys. You remember I was telling you the names of the notes, and mm-hmm. I could actually play them on a keyboard because
yep.
I hear them and I feel them, and it's just a total understanding of what's going on. There's no guessing involved on my part.
Well, it's kind of like just a very subtle and yet very real and really kind of profound example of how we are constantly attracting by what we are vibrating. And so, you know, every day, whatever our actions are, whatever our behaviors are, whatever our thoughts are, wherever our attitudes are, we're attracting by that vibration that we're emitting with that thought and with that action and with that behavior. And at the same time, you know, these wind chimes were, you know, just a dear to my heart example of, and it took you coming into my life to be able to point that out to me, how, you know, these five little metal tubular cylindrical forms hanging on this piece of wood actually are carrying the same vibration as what I feel inside of me. And then I get to listen to that. So it's like giving me a mirror of myself that I listen to as I work at my desk each day and listen to the wind kind of sort of speaking back to me, my own expression.
Well, consider the person that made those wind chimes, too. I mean, they played an unconscious role, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they knew exactly what they were doing, you know what I'm saying. We can go outside the box, in other words, and we can consider that some part of the universe caused that to happen.
Yeah.
For your ultimate benefit.
It's like, you know, the old 6 degrees of separation
mm-hmm.
concept of, you know, we can be separated by many states or oceans or countries, and yet at the same time attract to each other and find our familiars by just tuning into and knowing who we are ourselves and our own vibration enough that we can start living that out loud in our daily reality. And, you know, I know I have said this on a previous show, if not both of them, and I say it so often in my everyday interaction with people and in the work that I do, that, you know, if you want to know what in this world you can do with what is this ongoing seeming chaos that seems to be growing and manifesting in greater numbers all around us, and, you know, threatening of falling economies and you know, wars and people having 400 children. It could really spin you if you just get caught up in the details of it. But what you can do, the strongest, most powerful thing that you can do every single day is get up and ask yourself, what brings me joy? And then with all your heart and with all your intelligence and with all of your strong wanting and your desire to bring that joy in to whatever your responsibilities or obligations with work and with life are, and weave them in more and more and more so that your joy starts becoming a manifested, expressed aspect of who you are, not just for your own benefit, but for the benefit of the people that you live with, that you love, that you work with, but also because of the vibration that you will be ongoing sending out into the world and onto the planet. Because, you know, right now we are being lifted up and fed by the unity consciousness grid, and, you know, to really breathe in and just close your eyes, you know, even once a day, but as often as possible, and breathe in and understand that when you're breathing as one heart, and you can connect to as few or as many people as you choose to do so, but that when you're breathing in that love and that joy and breathing out that love and that joy of who you are, that you're benefiting the whole planet by doing that. And that might sound simplistic, but sometimes the most seemingly simplistic things are actually the most profound at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And what was, as you were speaking, I was just hearing this over and over in my mind, but in my spirit and in my heart, that every time we have a thought, if we have a good thought and we project that thought, we affect anything that is opposite of that equally. You know, for every action, there is a positive reaction, or I should maybe is it opposite reaction? and so if we are being overwhelmed with all this negativity, to put out a good, loving thought is going to affect the power that dichotomy has, that negative circumstance or that negative condition that we're suffering through, because we're latching onto it and holding on to that energy instead of just merely changing our whole attitude and our thoughts and our intentions. And so what you described is true, in that if we do have a loving thought and we send love out into the universe, like Jesus said, you know, you do good and it's going to come back to you thousandfold. It's going to come back amplified. That wasn't a lie that he talked about. And he gave us many, many examples of how that principle works. There were people in his time and certainly in the past 2,000 years since then that have always tried to distort or manipulate what he said, which was based upon universal law and universal truths from the Creator. So there was no mystery about what he was saying to anyone who had an open heart to hear what he said. And that's why he said there are those with eyes to see and ears to hear.
Yeah, Jesus,
he was alluding to that consciousness and that intent to see and that intent to hear, and not put prejudices and the biases of the day in place and try to argue the case, supporting what were illusions. He was pointing out the illusions constantly.
Yeah, and you know, Jesus was not an other. He was not something outside of ourselves for us to constantly reach up to or aspire to. He was a reflection of everything that each of us are, and that we are all charged to be living, breathing representatives of in the way we live and walk through our own life. And, you know, it all comes back again to getting clear on who we are and why we're here and what we want, and tapping into what return can I make, and embracing life as an experiential plane of demonstration through which we get to engage and dance with an unlimited repertoire or smorgasbord, so to speak, of energy. And none of it is who we are, but all of it is who we are at the same time. That's what the whole duality is all about. And to advance spiritually as a planet, we must be able to both individually and globally as a humanity be able to assimilate and integrate and engage the energetic principles of love, joy, service to each other, and unity consciousness that is exemplified as the highest and best good for all of humanity and the earth. And that, you know, that's not only where our individual freedom and true abundance and prosperity evolves out of, but it's also where we meet our true selves, our authentic nature, because it's in the heart of our being to not only want to reach to the next highest place than where we're vibrating at this time, but to feel a part of and contribute and matter and know that we weren't here just to, you know, hold down a space and breathe the air. We were here as necessary representatives of something just beyond words and beautiful and of love, because that is who we are.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed, Deanne, and I'm sure you have, you're putting your intention out there, is having just as much effect as anything that I might do or anyone else who is speaking a message that comes from the heart. I notice, and we all talk about this amongst each other, that those of us that see what's going on and those of us that have a different understanding of what's going on, in terms of the totality of our nation's population, there are people that are totally oblivious to what's going on. Okay, we say those people are asleep. Now, they may not all be asleep in the sense that we mean it when we say that, but in general, they are just sort of going through the motions. We're not judging them, we're just making an observation. And then there are those that are awakened on a patriotic level, and they're looking at the legal system, and they're looking at the Constitution, and they're looking at all the social and economic problems that you referred to that we're having. And those people are basically, when you're talking about the problems in the country and looking for solutions, those are the people that are already somewhat awake. In other words, you don't have to convince them about some of the wild things going on in the economy, or the wild things going on with the border, the invasion of our borders, or the spraying of chemtrails in our skies, or the toxification of medicines and foods and all of these things. And then you have people who are just operating in a spiritual realm. And what I notice is that middle group is becoming spiritual, that their solutions now are moving to the spiritual. So you affect that with your message, as well as any of the other people out there who are speaking these truths. The problem that some are still having is that they're operating within the matrix, or what we call, they're still inside the box. They're wanting to be outside the box. They're wanting to look at it, but they immediately revert back to the old methods of trying to fix it according to the constraints of the matrix.
Right.
Okay, whether that's the law or that's the limit, or the illusion that there's not enough money to go around, or that there's a limit to how abundant a person can be, or there's a limit to how healthy they can be, or how long they can live, or how smart they can be. We have all these illusions of these different conditions.
And that is being fed by a vibration.
Yes.
And so that's why it's so easy to fall back into that, because that itself, that illusion and that shadow energy, is carrying a vibration that is like a magnetic pull. And so, mm-hmm. again, and we're not going to be able to get into this obviously tonight, but there is a counterbalance to that. It just needs to be fed. And that's a lot of what this book, The New Human, is about, is what steps, you know, the first half of the book is about how we got to this place, and illuminating what the shadow energy is and how we've contributed to that and what fear is all about and how that pulls us into it. But the second half of the book is now how to jump on and really engage this unity consciousness grid and this higher energy that is here for our benefit at this time, and take it into ourselves and start building our own frequency, our own personal vibration, so that when these things continue to happen as the earth goes through the changes and this death, so to speak, process has to happen, this coming apart, this fall that will happen on the social consciousness grid, that we can vibrate and hold a place above that fall energy, and we will not be affected by it, and we don't have to look at it, and we don't have to see it, because it won't be a part of our experience and our reality. And all of that is determined absolutely positively by the vibration and the frequency that we're housing at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well said. Now, so you alluded to the fact that you're going to have to come back for another show. Another interview.
Yeah, that would be
nice?
Great.
Yes.
Either that, or we have to do a two-hour spot.
Yes. Well, maybe we can arrange that, too. We're already out of time, Deanne, but I wanted to give out your web address. And this is for the listeners, of course. Go, if you would like to own Deanne Hampton's book, Interior Joy, you can go to www.interiorjoy.com. That's simple. Or you can go to directlightproductions.com and click on books, and you will see her book posted there. And a short little synopsis of who Deanne Hampton is, and a short synopsis about the book. And there's a link, Deanne Hampton's site. In fact, it'll take you right to the ownership page. So, Deanne, thank you so much for being on the show, and I look forward to the next time.
I've had a great time, and I appreciate being able to connect with the audience, and you know, anybody listening, I encourage you to give me an email, and if you so desire to do so, at joyemerging@interiorjoy.com, and I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, very good. Thank you for reminding me. I should have done that.
Well, that's what partnership is all about, right, Don?
Yes, and I've got to go back to work on your book and get that finished so we can get that important message out to the folks.
Okay.
And I look forward to the next time, and now you can have a restful night, and we're going to say goodnight to our audience. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our guest this evening was Miss Deanne Hampton, author of the book Interior Joy and the soon-to-be-released The New Human. And I am Don Nikoloff, your host, and I will be with you tomorrow evening. Our special guest, Jim Murray, we've got a great, fantastic show lined up for you. You're going to not want to miss the show. In the meantime, have a very peaceful, light-filled, and joyful night, and a good night.